You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Welcome in to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Thursday afternoon. Glad to have you with us. I'm joined by Hunter Hawes on the other side of the glass. Nice day outside, Hunter, and I'm shocked it's already August. That is technically back to school month, I believe.
Oh, phrase it that way, too.
I know. Well, they usually have that stuff out way earlier. I know from earlier working at Walgreens in my high school and early college days, they're preparing for Christmas already. Usually they're kind of doing the back to school starting in June, but time is flying.
Yeah.
Some schools start before Labor Day. Mine didn't, fortunately, when I was in high school. How about you? Did you ever have to start before Labor Day?
It always started the first week of September.
Yeah. Yeah, you were a metro school. You were down in Lakeville. I was Eden Prairie. I feel like the metro is probably the same, especially in the suburbs. I think Minneapolis tried an experiment a few years ago where they did before Labor Day, and then they switched it back to the usual day after Labor Day. But it's coming up.
Wow.
Yeah. Back to school. I depressed myself even saying that.
Yeah, I hope I don't have homework.
He will not. Well, with the quiz Matt was giving you at the beginning of the last hour, you might need to do some homework. Man, he was just grilling you for the first 5 minutes of the show, asking you about Capital Steps, quizzing you on the X Games, who's your favorite skateboarder.
I know that guy.
He was
confrontational.
He was kind of like the – well, no, I was going to say he's – he's like the CNN moderators, but no, that would have meant him actually asking good questions. But yeah, he was grilling you, but you came through. Did you end up naming a skateboarder? Because the only one I can think of is Tony Hawk.
Well, okay, I can name a bunch of skateboarders, but I don't think they're going to mean anything to Matt, so I just didn't say
okay.
anything.
Okay, all right, there you go.
I could say Dustin Dolan, Rodney Mullen, but I don't know. I was trying to think of someone who is famous that, I mean, there's Tony Hawk. But I was trying to think of something equivalent to Tony Hawk fame, and I couldn't.
I don't know anyone anymore. I know Tony Hawk. God, he's got to be getting close to like 50 years old. He's almost kind of a name that people who are younger probably don't even know anymore.
Yeah, just the video games is the only reason they probably would.
I remember those old Tony Hawk games on the old PlayStation. I remember those on my old PS1. I think I might even still have one buried in my boxes somewhere in a closet. You ever play any Tony Hawk video games
a
kid?
Oh, yeah. I loved it all. I would have been more of a skateboarder, too, but I lived on a dirt road. But because all my friends were really, like, serious skateboarders, and I just kind of did. But that was the main reason was because I lived on the dirt road.
Yeah, that wouldn't work very well. Although, in theory, I wonder if that would actually make you a better skateboarder if you could learn how to balance on a dirt road.
Yeah. It didn't really.
Probably just not. I know nothing about skateboarding. And I just know, dirt road and skateboarding, probably not a good combination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the X Games are in town. We get those for like 5 years in a row. It's kind of nuts how many years they're coming to the coming to U.S. Bank Stadium. They've been here since, what, 16 or 17? And I think we still get them next year as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't realize that when the first year they were here. I thought that was the only year. And then it came back, and now it's back again.
I'll go out on a limb right here and say that overall, we're probably getting a better deal hosting those than we are the Super Bowl. Because I imagine we're probably making a little bit of money from that, and we're not having to put in all sorts of absurd provisions to appease millionaires and billionaires like we did for the Super Bowl with some of the crazy aspects of like needing to build a cell phone tower, reserving bowling lanes, restricting what drinks restaurants can sell. I imagine we're not doing that for the X Games. So I'm just thinking dollar for dollar, probably making a better deal on that one than we are for the Super Bowl or even the Final Four back from earlier this spring.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably is actually.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I was going to throw a really lame joke in here, but I'm no good with punchlines. But here is my idea. I was just going to say, if you want to reach us, just go to BrettHunter30330. If you saw the end of the debate last night where Joe Biden was messing up how to text and give his website, he ended up saying, For more information about me, go to Joe30330. And of course, he got grilled on social media and Twitter for that, with people thinking he was trying to give out his PIN number, among other things. But yeah, it's actually a pretty funny clip to go watch. Of course, as you can probably imagine, everyone on the Biden campaign was just absolutely scrambling to register JoeBiden30330.com. It ended up going to some student, I think, from Syracuse University, who ended up registering the website for his own fake candidacy for the presidency. In fact, it turns out I think he's actually going for Mayor Pete. There's a little bit of an endorsement down there. But can you imagine, as soon as he said that, how much the team was scrambling, going to GoDaddy or who are some of the other ones, HostGator, trying to get that URL scrambled and registered, but someone beat him to the punch. But I don't know if that shows that he either made a mistake, or it could be as well, sorry to say, he is 76 years old. And, well, when you get a little bit older, you're not as tech savvy as you used to be when you're younger. In fact, that's even the case for me. People who are teenagers probably know more about smartphones and tablets than even I do, so even though I'm in my early 30s. Probably the same case for you there, Hunter. You're a little more tech savvy than me, I feel like, on smartphones and tablets, but younger kids probably know. Yeah, younger kids probably still know more than we do, but going back to Biden, yeah, might be a sign he's just not real big on going to websites and texting, but I love that. Go to Joe30330 with no other context whatsoever.
So I went to the Joe30330, and it goes to this kid's website, Josh for America.
Right, yeah.
And then I'm assuming he was trying to say text Joe to 30330.
That's exactly, yeah, because soon after on Twitter, that's exactly what they put on the official Joe Biden account.
Mm.
That's what they meant, but people were confused. Is he trying to give some sort of obscure website, or is he planning on, like, doing the Futurama thing and putting his head in one of those glasses and running for president in the year 30330? Or was he really having a senior moment and, like, giving away his password or his PIN number to all sorts of different things? But kind of a humorous moment last night in an otherwise a debate that was a struggle to get through, to say the least. I don't know about these 2.5 hour debates, and especially when they take 25 minutes even to get to any context where they treat it like a football game. We got to go through the color guard. We got to play the national anthem. Then we got to have our movie theater style trailer. Then we got to do our opening statements, which, by the way, are just absolutely worthless. If I have one thing I'd want in a debate, well, two things I'd want in future debates. I don't care if it's Republicans, Democrats, or a general election. No more opening and closing statements. They're absolutely worthless. You know nothing, and you learn nothing from closing and opening statements. That's something that's got to be a thing of the past. Coming up in segment two of the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about the debates, because I'm going to share my unpopular opinion. We did this last week, how I was talking about there is a scenario where it could actually be better for Democrats to have Trump win in 2020. Well, I'm going to continue and do another unpopular opinion this week. And this one is that I think John Delaney actually did a pretty good job, and I'm actually kind of digging him, despite the fact that I completely disagree with all of his policies. We're going to get into that more in segment two and also talk a little bit more about the debates. But Hunter, I got to bring this up. August 1st, actually a pretty big day here in the state of Minnesota. A lot of anniversaries, some happy, some not so happy. We'll start off on the sad side. Unfortunately, August 1st, 2007, that was actually when the 35W bridge collapsed in Minneapolis. Mm. Do you happen to remember what you were doing when that bridge fell down?
I was in Massachusetts.
Oh, you do remember. Okay. I was going to say, it's not quite as notable as like a 9/11, but a lot of people do remember specifically what they were doing when that happened.
Yeah, I don't. I know my mom went down there to take photos of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in Massachusetts living at that time.
Yeah, so you probably weren't paying quite as close of attention being out there at school. For me, I remember sitting in my parents' porch watching a Twins game, and they actually brought that up on air and talked about how originally they thought, well, let's just get everyone out of the stadium to get them to safety. But then they came to their senses and realized, no, let's not let anyone out of the stadium. Let's keep everyone in the Metrodome just to keep everyone actually away from the scene and causing any more confusion. So I believe they actually ended up not letting anyone out of the Metrodome until they got their bearings more collected in terms of what was happening with the 35W bridge collapse.
Hmm.
Also, kind of on a happier note of an August 1st anniversary, this one I'm really happy about. 54 years ago today, President Lyndon Johnson signed Medicare and Medicaid into law, which is great news, and it was a great thing that happened. Now, what was that be? 54 years ago today. Well, I actually just read 54 years ago today, but that is the anniversary of Medicare and Medicaid being signed into law, something that was lost on several of the candidates over the past few debate nights. Man, what was with them really going after Medicare for All? I think there's better ways you could attack that rather than using the Republican talking point of saying it costs too much money. There are ways to criticize it, but that's the worst way ever. And as several of the more progressive candidates pointed out, and even some of the more moderates said, that's a Republican talking point, and all you're doing is giving them more ammunition. But thought I would bring this up in terms of the Medicare for All polling, and I'm kind of wondering, since it's been being trashed by some of these more moderate Democrats, if it's actually hurt support. And maybe the case, actually, because support for Medicare for All has actually slipped from 59% back in March, now down to 51%, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation in a poll released on Tuesday. While building on the Affordable Care Act actually has more support than a national Medicare for All, as it's a 55-39 split in terms of people who support building on Obamacare and having a public option versus 39% who, I don't know what exactly they want, maybe having higher premiums, but You wonder if some of the candidates are maybe having an impact, talking about the negative aspects of Medicare for All and possibly a reason why it's gotten slightly less popular over the past few months. Have you seen anything to indicate as to why support might be very slightly slipping for Medicare for All, Hunter?
I think it's that. It's people are confused right now because, one, so many different proposals, and two, just they don't know the difference between it. So they might not even be certain in these polls which one they're actually voting for, depending on how they phrase it and how much information is given to the respondents of the polls.
And certainly it doesn't help when you get both CNN and NBC from the first set of debates asking the stupid question, are everyone's taxes going to go up if we have Medicare for All? Are you going to make it illegal to have private insurance? Just technically true questions, but very, very misleading. I wish someone would actually have called them out. Well, they sort of did, but I wish someone would have actually criticized, like CNN, saying, come on, guys, do better than this.
Yeah.
A little more forcefully, and saying, you're just literally repeating a Republican talking point.
What they need is Jon Stewart to be the moderator of moderators.
Oh, a moderator of the moderators to point it out and ask, that's a stupid question.
Yeah.
Last night, if they had someone like that, they could have actually pointed out, moderators, do you have any other questions except what's your response to what the other candidate said? That's just the laziest question asking you can possibly do. What's your response? You don't even need a moderator at that point. Just get rid of the moderator and let the candidates discuss among themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'd rather hear more from them that way, actually.
Before we head to break, what do you think of this idea? Because I like the concept of letting all 20 candidates debate early on, but I don't know if it would be too many nights and overkill, but I would love the idea of maybe having four debates of five people. 10 is just too many, and I think you could get more back and forth and a more in-depth discussion if you divided it up into four groups of five people or two groups of six people and then one group of eight, something along the lines, but 10 is too many.
Yeah, I like it. I definitely do because I don't like how short their response time is.
Oh,
right,
then you
now
get them last night, too, when you were doing a good impression when the moderators were saying, thank you very much, Senator, thank you, we're out of time, we need to move on
to
the next
question.
Thanks, Senator. And I forgot which candidate did this when they were discussing foreign policy at the end, but he had a great point saying, we haven't talked anything about Iran, and he kept trying to tell the moderators, we need to discuss this, and they kept doing the, thanks, Senator. When in all honesty, that actually is a pretty important topic to cover if you're going to be covering foreign policy. 952-946-6205. Do not text Brett Hunter 30330. Our phone number is 952-946-6205.
Especially if you're on the road.
Oh, that is illegal. Key to point out. Yeah, you can't text and drive anymore. We're going to talk more about the debates and why I'm kind of digging John Delaney and also Michael Bennett, despite the fact I don't like any of their policies. It's on the way next on the Repartee with Brett and Hunter. Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
We're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Brett and Hunter in for your Thursday afternoon, talking the debates that took place back on Tuesday and then also last night. So I want to talk about a couple of candidates that I heard the past couple of nights, John Delaney and Michael Bennett. So originally when especially I was out biking and listening to the debate on AM 950 on the TuneIn app, by the way, when I was hearing John Delaney speak, I was annoyed that CNN kept asking him so many questions, but he's a little bit more on the moderate side, which politically I'm not. I'm more on the progressive side of the aisle, but I kind of wanted to throw something whenever I heard him speak because he was going after Medicare for All and using a lot of Republican talking points. I wasn't really happy about that. And to a lesser degree, I kind of felt the same thing about Michael Bennett last night, where he was also using similar tactics in his debate style. But I got to thinking more about it, and this is my unpopular opinion for the week. I've thought more about it, and I actually kind of dig now John Delaney and Michael Bennett. And here's why. And I think a lot of moderates run into this problem. Here's what I liked about Delaney and Bennett, despite the fact that I completely disagree with them politically. They actually are unabashed moderates. They're moderate Democrats, they own up to it, and they're proud of it, which is very different than what we've seen from some previous presidential and even senatorial candidates who are moderates, but try to portray themselves as being progressives. I think the best example is obviously going back to 2016. Look, everyone knew going into the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton was more on the moderate side of the Democratic Party. Nothing wrong with that necessarily, but the problem was is that she was trying to portray herself as being this big-time progressive, not quite as much as like a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren, but she was trying to portray herself as being this very progressive candidate with stances saying, oh, no, I am going to be tough on Wall Street, and I do support expanding Medicare, not necessarily going all in for Medicare for all, but that's a great example of someone who really was a moderate Democrat but tried to portray themselves as someone who's on the more progressive side of the aisle. And I think another candidate, going back to the debate on Tuesday night, I don't know if you agree with me here, Hunter, but looking at Beto O'Rourke through a vacuum and his debate performance on Tuesday, again, if you're looking at it from just a vacuum and through the prism of a vacuum, he did a great job, I thought. If you're looking at that, only that debate and absolutely nothing else, he actually sounded like a really progressive guy. But the problem, though, is that if you look at his record and look at his prior debate performances, Beto was really actually a pretty moderate representative back when he was in Texas's, I forgot which congressional district. He wasn't this big-time progressive. I don't know if you felt the same way, that Beto was really trying to portray himself as being Mr. Progressive, which, again, viewing in a vacuum, looked great. But that's not actually his record and the way he's campaigned in the past.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. I can think of two examples in my life of people who like our Democrats vote in primaries, but don't necessarily follow as day-to-day. Like, they don't have internet access, for example. So they don't do this, stay up to date on Twitter and stuff like that, know all these trending political news. To them, Beto O'Rourke's one of their favorite candidates. They both have told me how much they like him because the only exposure they have are these debates to the candidates, and he has come off well to them.
Yeah, and I think a problem that happens when you are on the more moderate side of the party, and this is both for Republicans and Democrats, it basically comes across as kind of phony. And I think that's a big problem Hillary Clinton ran into in 2016. She just didn't appear genuine because, well, most people saw that, well, you're not this progressive candidate. You're actually a very moderate Democrat. Other candidates have run into that too. In fact, I would even contend Barack Obama in a way was in that same category where – really, if you look at his policy positions, really not that dissimilar from Hillary Clinton. But back in 2008 and even in 2012 when he was campaigning for re-election, he tried to portray himself as being a progressive. Now, the reason why he was able to overcome this was just the enormous amount of charisma he had. And even if you look at the Republican side of the aisle, I think they run into the same thing where you have moderate Republicans trying to portray themselves as being very right-wing. I mean, the best example, go back to Mitt Romney in 2012. Do you remember his infamous quote where Mitt Romney said he was severely conservative?
Yeah.
But, I mean, John McCain, same thing back in 2008. I think it's also a reason why Jeb Bush absolutely fell on his face in 2016. Everyone knew he's a more moderate Republican, well, relatively speaking, I don't think we really have any more moderate Republicans, but at least in today's terms on the political spectrum, you would probably call him a moderate Republican, even though 30 years ago that would be a pretty far-right Republican. But he didn't portray himself in that way. He tried to say, I'm more on the right side of the aisle, and he tried to up his conservative credentials. And I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, seeing it as kind of being a phony, disingenuous thing. And that's what people really look for, I think, when they're deciding who to vote for. Marianne Williamson, I talked about how I really didn't like her at all after the first debate. I actually dug her a lot more in the second debate, and it's because she brought up a great point. People don't necessarily care what your policy positions are. They care more about your integrity. Are you a personable candidate? Can we believe what you're saying? She didn't necessarily say it in those terms, but that's very true because go back to George W. Bush in 2004. How many people voted for him because they thought, well, I can get a beer with W. I don't agree with him, but at least I know where he stands. And that even applies back to Paul Wellstone back in like 1996. I remember there were people that were on the more right side of the aisle, but they ended up liking Paul Wellstone because even though they completely disagreed with his policy, they at least knew where he stood. So going back to why I actually am kind of digging John Delaney and Michael Bennett again. They're moderate candidates, but at least they're unabashed about it. They're proud of it. And they're not trying to hide themselves as saying, oh, I'm actually this big-time progressive candidate. So I actually have some respect for John Delaney and Michael Bennett for being unashamed to say that they're actual moderates. And that kind of flies in the face of some of the other candidates that are a little bit harder to peg on the political spectrum. I think, Hunter, you and I talked about this on a previous show, how there's a lot of candidates in this election cycle for the Democrats where you kind of sit there and wonder, why exactly are you running? If you look at them from like 10,000 feet away, you can't really peg necessarily where they fall on the political spectrum. Just naming a few examples, I think Kamala Harris and Cory Booker are great examples. Same with Kirsten Gillibrand. Pete Buttigieg sort of up there as well. I'd certainly put Biden up there as well, where why exactly are you running is the question, where I feel like they could be running into the same problem as well, where they're trying to – where we don't necessarily know where they stand, but they're trying to portray themselves as being on this progressive side of the aisle. I don't know. What do you think about that right there?
Yeah, but what's the question specifically about them? Why are they running? What's behind the reasoning?
Yeah, exactly. Well, not asking you that, but that's a question we need to ask them, and it's kind of why I think they're hard to peg as to where they fall on the political spectrum. Are they on the more progressive side or the moderate side? Because if I'm looking at like a Kamala Harris or a Cory Booker from, you know, a 10,000-foot view without really digging specifically into the nitty-gritty of their policies, I would have trouble actually placing where they would fall on the spectrum of the Democratic Party.
And that's, the problem. They're running more on ego. That's what's driving them, that they feel that they can do it and not for any specific reason, or at least they haven't articulated it well for a large group of these candidates. There's not something driving them, but even people like Andrew Yang, Inslee, they have something, an issue or something they're bringing to the table that you can associate, but so many of these candidates, you don't. So that's all I can think of is that they feel they should be president because they are themselves.
Yeah, and as you're saying, it's tough to peg them down as well, and they're just kind of running on ego, and I hope they don't run into the same thing that previous Democratic candidates have run into, where they're going to try to portray themselves as being on the very progressive side of the aisle, when, in fact, that might not actually be their political positions. That's what I think exactly happened with Barack Obama, and I hope it doesn't happen to these candidates as well. Say where you actually stand. That's why I dig John Delaney and Michael Bennett. They at least say where they stand. And one final point on this, I think it kind of answers the questions why so many Americans say I would love to vote for a moderate candidate, but they never end up doing it. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that moderates are actually very afraid to say that they are moderate. That applies to both Republicans and Democrats, at least when they're in the primary season. You find very few people who actually admit that they're moderates. And I actually could have some respect for someone like a Delaney or a Bennett if they actually admit that they are on the more centrist side of the aisle. Again, I don't agree with that at all politically, but I would take that over someone who's trying to fake being a progressive, for lack of a better way of putting it. 952-946-6205. I almost pulled a Joe Biden right there, messing up the phone number. 952-946-6205. Let's go to Randy in St. Cloud. Hey there, Randy. What do you think?
Well, I was jumping up and down and screaming when you kept saying about the moderates and you respect them and, you know.
Well, I would take them over someone that is trying to portray themselves as being a progressive, even though they might be to the left of an actual moderate.
Well, and see, and I wouldn't, we can't do moderation this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
We already learned that from Hillary. It's just ridiculous. It's stupid to be Republican light. Republicans are always going to, and this whole idea that if I go moderate, I can get Republicans might, who are disgruntled with the horrible things Trump says, they could come with me. No, that's not how it's going to happen. We need to excite the base. And a classic example of this is they just had this powerful women in Congress or powerful women leadership gathering of Democrats. in Minnesota. And who did they bring to be their top guest speaker? Kristen Sinema from Arizona.
Ah.
The only Democrat in the entire U.S. Congress who doesn't stand with us on net neutrality. She voted. She's with the big cable, and she's blocking the net neutrality fight. And it's like, she's not a leader. She's a follower. She's got donors who tell her this is what you're going to do, and so does Bennett and
well, certainly Delaney, yeah. My point is that, no, they're certainly not my first choices, Michael Bennett and John Delaney. But if I had to choose between those two guys, and I won't name any names, but someone where you don't necessarily know where they stand. They could be left, they could be right, but they're portraying themselves as being a progressive, even though that's not really where they are.
Like,
no, in that case, I actually...
Kamala Harris, I'll name names.
You can name names, I won't.
Okay, but... No, I get that, but mm-hmm. if we don't put up somebody strong mm-hmm. that excites, not the screw the base. The base is going to vote for the Democrats. You got to excite the people who don't vote, the people that Matt was freaking out about. Mm-hmm. They got to get excited, and they're not going to get excited by some guy who's telling us we can't have stuff, or Kamala Harris who talks out of both sides of her mouth constantly.
Yeah, so, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, in the case I'm talking about, it is the choice between, well, the lesser of two evils. If you're choosing between a moderate and someone who's faking where they stand, ultimately, I agree with you. We should pick someone who actually will excite the base, but we'll have to see if that ends up happening. Hey, Randy, I got to let you go because all right, we're going to run into a break. Good hearing from you. 952-946-6205, and here's why you want to remember that phone number. We're going to be doing a ticket giveaway right now. Let's go to caller number three. You are going to win a pair of tickets to see the show Capital Steps taking place at the Ordway on Friday, August 9th. If you're not aware of what Capital Steps is, well, here's a little description for you. They do political satire. No matter who or what are in the headlines, the Capital Steps remain relentlessly nonpartisan as they deliver their unique blend of musical and political satire, offering timely laugh therapy to audiences around the nation. They're based out of D.C. They are coming to the Ordway Friday, August 9th, a hilarious comedy act. Make sure you call in 952-946-6205 to get those tickets. We'll take caller number three. You will be our winner for those pair of Capital Steps tickets. Those are valued at like $130 altogether. So a great, great deal. And if you don't win, make sure you order tickets by going to ordway.org. We'll take a break and hopefully have a winner on the way next here on AM 950, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd, and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need, but you won't get from anywhere else. Join me for the Bradcast with Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever. Right here, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Get $50 for your trade-in regardless of condition when you buy new appliances from Warner Stellion. Buy at Warner Stellion and you get our already low price guarantee. Trusted fast free delivery, professional installation, 18 months no interest financing. And now we'll buy your replaced appliances for $50 each. Choose from Minnesota's best appliance selection with friendly specialists who save you time and money. Say goodbye to your tired appliances and get $50 rebates for a limited time at Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, expect mostly clear skies with lows around 63. Thursday, sunny skies with highs near 83 and lows around 65. Friday, expect mostly sunny skies once again with highs near 84 and lows around 65. Powderhorn Art Fair, this August 3rd and 4th, will be celebrating 28 years of art and community in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Over 200 artists, 20 food vendors, a wine garden, and local organizations providing a vibrant experience to thousands of attendees. This weekend in Powderhorn Park in Minneapolis.
We're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Congratulations to Brad in Robbinsdale, the winner of those Ordway tickets to see Capital Steps, which is on Friday, August 9th. We are going to be giving away more pairs of tickets over the next several days on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, but we had just a huge volume of calls. We gave Hunter a workout over there, so your odds probably, I encourage you to try winning those tickets tomorrow and then on Monday when we give more away, but I'll just say the odds probably are not in your favor. So the best way to guarantee that you can see that show at the Ordway Capital Steps, just go to the Ordway website, guarantee yourself seats, because your chances probably aren't real high winning it here on the radio simply because we get so many people calling in. You're looking at about a 1 in 20 or a 1 in 30 chance of actually winning those tickets. So that's the best way to guarantee that you can see Capital Steps at the Ordway coming up on Friday, August 9th. That is a week from tomorrow. Just finishing up my point on Michael Bennett and John Delaney. Again, not my cup of tea in terms of policy, but if I had to make a choice, I would take whoever is the more genuine and the candidate you actually know where they stand politically on the spectrum over someone that's a mystery. I'm sorry, that's the way I would think about it. I would always choose someone that actually comes across as genuine over someone where you're a little unsure on where they stand. Not necessarily saying Delaney or Bennett are by first choice at all, because they most certainly aren't, but it is something to think about, because if you get candidates who are going to be a little wishy-washy on where they are on issues, usually does not turn out well, at least electorally. That is something people really look for when they're deciding who to vote. They don't look at policies. They look at, can I trust this person? Are they personable? And do they have integrity? Those are some of the qualities people really look for in terms of when they're deciding who they are going to vote for. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's move on to some local issues right here. You ready for an insane stat I just picked up about the lack of affordable housing in Minneapolis and St. Paul? Well, Hunter's on the phone, so we'll ask him in just a second. But here's just a crazy stat. So the Pioneer Press, a writer by the name of Frederick Mello, did this report over the past couple of years about the lack of affordable housing in St. Paul. In June of last year, housing experts looked at rental vacancies in St. Paul priced for households earning $30,000 or less. I want to know how many vacancies they found in June of 2018. Zero. There were no vacancies in June of 2018 in St. Paul for families earning less than $30,000. You want to know how many vacancies there were in June of 2019, Hunter? Can you guess how many vacancies there were for families that earn less than $30,000?
Zero.
Zero. Isn't that nuts just to think about? There are literally no vacancies if you're a household that earns less than $30,000 in the city of St. Paul. I would hate to know what that stat is for Minneapolis. I got a feeling it's also a number between negative 1 and 1.
Yeah, it's, well, it's completely the new normal. Mm-hmm. At 30 years old, half of my peers are living at home in, like, multi-generational houses. That's the complete normal now. I remember when we were door-knocking for Donzel's campaign, some of the older people were shocked at how many multi-generational homes there were, like adults living with their parents or family members, whatever. And it's, that's what has to be done these days. It's necessary and it's common.
Even as recent as 10 years ago when I was first graduating from college, I remember you were kind of thought of as almost a loser, like if you were living at home when you mm-hmm. were 23, 24, 25. Now that's almost normal.
It is, but then the problem is you still have that feeling. Mm-hmm. There's still that
You think that stigma's still there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
People are not proud to live with their parents. Yeah. They feel like something is wrong. They know something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the recipe of what's going on right now.
And not only is it normal to be living with your parents still when you're 23, 24, 25, as you said, there's plenty of people in their 30s who are still doing mm-hmm. that. And it just is insane to think even 10 years ago, if you graduated from college and you weren't living on your own, you were kind of thought of as a failure, where now it's kind of the new normal. So that's obviously happening in metro areas, and it's happening, well, everywhere, as you can probably attest to, Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad. Cities, I don't know, rural areas.
Well, here's what I'm going to bring up, why it's going to get even worse. We talked about this a couple Mondays ago, back when I was hosting the show with Sam, this Section 515 housing from USDA. This is a provision that actually helps builders build affordable homes in rural areas. But the problem, though, is that they only get these subsidies over the 30-year life of their mortgage. So as soon as their mortgage loans expire and they pay those off, they can charge market rent. And the problem is, over the next 5 to 10 years, there are a ton of these properties that right now have to offer affordable housing because they're getting subsidized by the government. But as soon as their loans expire, they can charge market rate for rent. There's going to be thousands of these properties that are going to be able to jack up their rents over the next 5, 10, 15 years. So that's only going to make things worse in rural areas. And then, of course, you're looking at urban areas with St. Paul having no housing for anyone who makes less than $30,000. Just disappointing. I'm sure you agree, Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
No questions during the debate last night.
No.
About affordable housing. None. And that is such a critical issue.
And where this all stems from, I think, is we had the huge recession in 2008. And mm-hmm. In the past, like the Great Depression, you had Roosevelt, who bailed out the people of poverty, the middle class. Like, he gave back to the people, creating programs for them. Where in 2008, we bailed out the banks, the auto deal companies, but nothing for a healthy middle class or to deal with poverty. There was nothing put forward for it.
And circling back and going, well, full circle on what we've been talking about, Obama, when he was elected in 2008, was thought of as being very progressive. People thought he was going to go after the big banks. He was going to go after Wall Street, and he was actually going to help with affordable housing when, if you even look at his policy positions from when he was in the Senate, he was actually a very moderate Democratic senator, but he portrayed himself as being a progressive. So kind of taking it full circle on why I would take someone who actually says they're a moderate over someone who's basically going to mislead on what their positions actually are. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. One more thought before we run the phone line. So Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, of course, trying to deal with this, and he's actually holding a news conference as we speak about this, about how they are opening 243 new apartment units in Prospect Park, more than a quarter of which will be reserved for households with income at or below 60% of the area median income, which sounds great on the surface, but I feel like even under that scenario, they're still missing what I would kind of call a donut. People who are too poor, or people who are basically too poor who are too wealthy to get the subsidies, but then are too poor to actually afford market rent. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Okay,
this is a big problem, because to qualify for benefits, too, they take account the entire household. So you can have a household of poor people, and none of them can qualify for benefits then, because they go over the threshold. So it's a big problem in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm. problematic saying it too, describing what that actual donut is. But yeah, because it is people, if you're too wealthy to qualify for subsidies, but you're too poor to actually afford the market rent, something that's got to be dealt with this in this country and something we'll maybe have to tackle on our Tuesday solution show. By the way, we're going to do that next Tuesday with Gregory Rich in studio since we got a nice response on Monday on our solutions only program. What do you do about affordable housing and people who are in that so-called donut where they are kind of out of luck when it comes to trying to find affordable housing? Let's go ahead and run the phone lines and start things off with, let's go to actually Dan in Eden Prairie. He'll be up first. Hey, Dan, what do you think about what we've been talking about?
You have a great voice.
Oh, thank you very much.
You really do. Now, I don't mean to be argumentative here. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great if the Democratic candidates for president would appear before very conservative moderators? And, you know, just to kind of help to maybe thin out the number of candidates, and if they would have the, you know, the wherewithal and be able to substantiate any arguments that they'd like to make.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't you think that would sell a lot of television ad space, Mark Levin, you know, and
I would actually take people like that, and I will also want people from the left asking questions as well. Thanks so much for the call there, Dan. What we got from the people from CNN last night who were asking basic, boring, just bad questions overall, questions that had no substance whatsoever, where they're just sitting there asking, what's your response to that candidate? What's your response to that candidate? Yeah, I actually would find that debate to be very interesting if we got actual political pundits asking questions to the candidates, both for Republicans and Democrats. Of course, we're not having any Republican debates, although I would love to see Bill Weld debate Donald Trump. Let's keep going with the phone calls. We'll go one more, Hunter, before we take a break. Let's go to Brad in Robbinsdale. By the way, Brad, congratulations on winning those tickets to Capitol Steps.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it. And I guess, cynic that I am, I thought many of the people on Tuesday or Wednesday were actually fishing for a VP spot or something in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But in that regard, I think that Bennett actually deserves a second look. And a couple of weeks ago, he was on Fox News on the Sunday show, and the host, I guess her name was Dana, was trying to set him up for a conservative talking point A, and then setting him up for conservative talking point B. Well, he took on a, you know, just, you know, it was like Muhammad Ali versus sister, Rosalind. He just punched her all up and down the face, and then he moved on to point B and did the same thing, and it was just a wonder to behold. And so I really do think, you know, again, he can think on his feet, and he does present, you know, a very strong Democratic message there. And so I think he might deserve a second look for a spot in the next Democratic president cabinet or VP.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Brad. We're going to take one final break and come back and continue with your phone calls and also briefly touch on what's happening with Equifax, because you're apparently not going to be getting that $125 you were promised. Uh-oh. We'll talk more about that and get to your phone calls up next on the Repartee.
He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Finding a lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know where to start. So start with the Hennepin County Bar Association. They can connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Not sure if you need an attorney or what type of attorney to request? The referral counselors at Hennepin County Bar Association can help. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
We're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. A couple of quick hitter stories before we get back to the phone lines. Manufacturing is officially in a recession, and Minnesota and other Midwest manufacturers grew in July at their slowest pace in 42 months. Oof, not good news there. Also want to recommend this to you. Yahoo Finance yesterday put out a great piece talking to farmers who have been hurt by the Trump administration tariffs. We won't have time to get into it, but highly recommend that read, talking about how a lot of these farmers feel absolutely betrayed by Donald Trump. And then want to touch on this one right here, Hunter, because you and I have talked about this. Equifax, you're supposed to be getting $125 for their security concerns. Apparently that's not going to happen because they're saying they're going to run out of money. They only put aside, I guess, $30 million for this fund, and there's going to be so many people asking for money, they won't have enough money to actually pay this out. And apparently the FTC agreed to this, so they theoretically and technically, well, not just theoretically, they actually can run out of money, and you could be out of luck. So apply for that money as soon as you can. And as a side note, instead of offering money, they say you could get their credit monitoring service for free for a few years, valued at over $600, which I find funny because why would you want free credit monitoring from the company that, well, messed up your data in the first place?
Yeah. Give me the money.
Give you the money. So I think, are you applying for that right now? You should be doing it during the show. They're going to run out, man.
I know.
They're going to run out. I got to check that when I get home tonight. Let's go to Mark in Fridley to close out the show. Hey there, Mark. What do you think?
Hey, well, about that, they were fined $700 million. They set aside $30 million to take care of the victims. Where did the rest of the money go?
That is a great question.
Okay. So also, that's tax deductible. So you can cut it in half.
Unbelievable.
Right away, 'cause they get to deduct that as a business expense, which is what Facebook is going to do with the $5 billion fine. Okay. Now, second, the farm subsidies you just talked about, 10% of the biggest farming conglomerates, including China.
Oh, glad you're bringing this
50%
up. Yes.
10% of the subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I want to close with is, you know, your Ashton Kutcher punked reboot thing, Delaney. The line of the debate last night came from Tulsi Gabbard, who had a couple of them. But at the end, she took on Delaney because Delaney is there to be an agitator. He's there as a counterintelligence. He's there to disrupt things. He doesn't have a chance of winning, and he's, you know, putting money in his pockets. But in the first debate, he was a member of the Armed Services Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and he said in the first debate that the Taliban attacked the World Trade Center. Tulsi Gabbard told him he was, in fact, wrong.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Mark, got to leave it there, but I remember Tulsi Gabbard really taking him down. Now, that's all the time we have for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll see you tomorrow.